We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We continue here on Cody and Goldwear Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, here for good. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll talk with Chiefs sideline reporter and our own Josh Klingler, get his perspective heading into the Chiefs and the Patriots game. We're also about 15 minutes away from our random question of the day. All right, and joining us now is our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, to wrap up this 2020 season. And Vern, appreciate you coming on, obviously, each and every week throughout this year. And at this point in time, now that it's in the books, and I think we all were probably hoping to see another 60-plus games the way the Royals were able to finish it, but how do you overall view this season for the Royals?
Well, I thought there were two main objectives this season for Mike Matheny and this ball club. Objective number one for Mike was to win over the media and win over the fan base, because he wasn't going to get the same benefit of the doubt that Ned Yost did, because he's not wearing that same 2015 championship ring that Ned Yost was. And I think he did that. The friction between him and the St. Louis media, none of that was really present in Kansas City. He was very honest, very thoughtful, very open, and very engaging in every conversation with every member of the media, as we heard every Wednesday morning with Fesco in the morning. Objective two, I thought, was to change the expectation. I don't know if losing was ever accepted in years previous, but I don't believe that the feeling inside the clubhouse in 2018 and 19 was, I don't believe there was an expectation of winning. Mike Matheny's job was to get inside these players' heads and remove the word rebuild. Eliminate the idea of it's okay if we're losing as long as a few players are improving. And I think, and we all saw, the fight in this team. I do believe there is an expectation of winning. I do believe that the 100 loss seasons that we saw in the previous two seasons, that mentality, that's attitude of, well, we're not supposed to win anyway. What do you guys expect? I think that has been eliminated. I do think there is a commitment to winning, and I do believe that there is a buy-in that the young core of this team will be the young core of the next championship team, which should excite Royals fans moving forward.
I agree totally on the pitching part, Vern, when it comes to like that being the core of this team going forward. I feel like I come out of this season, though, with a lot of the same questions, like, is Dozier the first baseman? Is the final stretch of Mondesi something I'm supposed to believe in? Where's Witt playing every day? I know Witt's playing every day. Does he go to left field without Gordon? Do they have a center fielder? Do you feel like we're going to get some clarity in the offseason on those things, or is that the beginning of next year when they sort out the rest of the roster stuff, we find out where Isbell and Lee are in their development, and then we just kind of go from there, or can we get any clarity over the next few months, 180 days before we wait for the Royals to return to baseball?
No, I don't think you're going to get clarity when it comes to the offense. Look, this season to me was once again about identifying individuals that you believe can be a part of the next championship team. Mondesi, Lopez, Bubich, Singer, Staumont, Keller. I think all of those guys have come to the forefront, but I mean, your question seemed to center around the offense, and I think the offense is going to be the final thing that comes together for the next championship team. Look, Dozier, is he the first baseman? Yeah, I think so, but I don't even know if Dozier's a part of the next championship team. Where does Whit Merrifield play next year? He even told us he doesn't know where he's going to be asked to play next season. But again, I don't know what role Whit Merrifield has on the next championship team. Adalberto Mondesi? Do we still have the same questions this offseason about him that we did last offseason? Yes. Can he put it together for a 162-game season and perform like one of the five best players on the planet and put up MVP-like numbers? We all know he's capable of doing it, but we've all witnessed baseball players and athletes that have been capable of doing great things that were just unable to do those great things. I spoke with Dayton Moore earlier this week. He says that the organization is heading into the offseason still as reliant on Adalberto Mondesi to be a run producer, to be the number 2-3-4 hitter for this team moving forward. Dayton's big point that he is stressing this offseason with Adalberto Mondesi is you don't need to single-handedly carry us. One thing each and every game to help us win, and trust me, your numbers will be there at the end of the season. He believes the issue for Mondesi this year was Mondesi acknowledging that he has the ability to single-handedly take over a game and win it for this team, along with the expectation that we and the organization has put on him to be that superstar player, and he would try and, you know, do too much like we talk about. So the hope is what we saw in September when he's the Royals Player of the Month, the confidence and whatever he learned about his swing and his approach that he's able to carry that into 2021. But as far as the questions with the offense, no, they are aplenty. Hopefully Mondesi's the middle of the lineup guy. Nicky Lopez can't be overmatched offensively. Look, it's still a defensive first position that he's playing, and he plays gold glove defense, but the offense must improve. You can't have two holes in the middle of your lineup. So Nicky Lopez improving offensively, Adalberto Mondesi remaining confident. Other than those two, I have no idea what the lineup is going to look like in 2022 and 23 when this team is competitive. I hope Khalil Lee and Kyle Isbell are a part of it, but there's no guarantee there. Franchi Cordero and Edward Olivares, we've at least seen them in the big leagues, and they've shown flashes, so I think they're going to get first cracks, to be quite honest.
Seems like I think
they already have the leg up on Khalil and Kyle Isbell. Bobby Witt Jr. needs to play some minor league baseball before we put him in the big league starting lineup. So, yes, there are still more questions than answers when it comes to this offense. But as far as this organization is concerned, there is a solid foundation of pitching. And pitching and defense is what is going to win for this team. And it does seem that they have that right now.
I know you can't just put Bobby Witt in, but I'd be curious to see what the results would be like. But, Vern, you mentioned Mondesi. Is there any thought about maybe sending him down to Tozar? Only because I know that's a name that a lot of Royals fans don't know as well. But Salvador Perez has come out of there, Jorge Soler. Some guys have come out with better swings after working with him in Florida. Have they thought at all about sending him with a hitting instructor over the summer? Or the winter, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to go to the Dominican first. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Sure.
Tozar seems to be the hot new name just because Salvia is raking right now.
Yes.
Look, it's up to Mondesi. A hitting coach isn't going to make the difference.
Well, I think
Tozar's getting way too much of the credit for Salvador Perez.
Sure.
Salvi's, when you ask him what's been different, it's, you know, believing how good I am, having confidence at the plate. Coaches only get blamed when, you know, one individual struggles. I'm not going to give him some deity status because Salvi's a monster. Salvi's always been a monster.
Well, it's like, to me, a hitting coach is as good as the guy they work with. Like, I still think the guy who fixed Alex Gordon wasn't the guys who came after. It was Seitzer. Seitzer was the guy who eventually got through on Gordon. It was, you know, it just depends on, I guess, who the hitting coach is, I guess, in that scenario.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm never one to really give
too much credit to hitting coaches.
Credit or really concern myself with their coaches.
Because George Brett just like showed up.
There, however they untap it is cool with me.
They didn't change hitting coaches in the middle of a World Series run. So
yeah, right. We were talking with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, here on Cody and Gold. And Josh, this morning you had Ryan Lefevre, or the Fesco in the morning had Ryan Lefevre on their show, and he said he felt like the organization needed some more seasoning before it makes a James Shields type of trade. And where do you feel the organization is at just in terms of what everybody references, which was 2013, 2014, and 2015. Do you feel like next year could be similar to the 2013 season where things started to click and the guys were playing together?
It could. Again, I just don't know about the offense. The way that I look at this team moving forward is when they get back to the postseason, it's going to be because of the pitching. It's going to be because of the starting pitching. That is what will drive the bus back to October. Do I think that starting pitching is going to be ready to compete for the postseason next year? No, I do not. Even though Bubich, Singer, and Keller have a year plus under their belts and maybe September won't be intimidating for them, Daniel Lynch and Asa Lacy are two guys that may need to be the 1-2 in that rotation or may need to compete with Brady Singer and Brad Keller for that game one start. They're not likely to make their debuts until some point during the season next year. And we also need to take into account that Bubich threw 50 innings, Singer threw 60 innings. How many are they going to be able to give you next year? What is the status of their shoulder and their elbows come September? Are they shut down already? So,
sure.
I expect more starting pitchers to be used next year in Major League Baseball than ever before. I would imagine the record will be set because you're just not going to be able to extend pitchers as deep into the season. You're not going to see the 200-inning horses around Major League Baseball like you may be accustomed to over 162. Okay, so if the starting pitching will not be ready to lead you to the postseason in 2021, well, then I look towards 2022 and what this team must do to put the best lineup around that rotation in 2022. Is the best way to bring in middle-of-the-lineup run-producing bats? Is the best way to go about that trading a Whit Merrifield, a Hunter Dozier, a Jorge Soler? Possibly. Soler is the first name that comes to mind as he comes into his final year of the contract. He's not a homegrown Royal player. If you could part with him, I'm not too sure that the return would be as grand as some may think. But that's how I would approach the offseason, and I spoke with Dayton Moore earlier. He says that he believes that the prospects, even though they haven't been playing, that prospects will be valued as high as they would be in a usual offseason. So to make the comparison to the 2014-15 run team, next year would be 2013. And that the pitching and defense will keep you in it to where you'll have a chance to make a run at a 500 record. But if they decide to run it back with this offense, with the same top six hitters of Merrifield, Mondesi, Salvi, and Soler, Hunter, and Mikey Franco, we're going to be beholden to their health. Salvi's left eye and Soler's oblique and Mondesi's confidence. I want to believe that next year will be the year that all six of them stay healthy and everybody reaches their potential. But history tells me that's not likely to happen, that a few of them will get hurt, that one of them will struggle. And if that's the case, your offense is not going to be able to keep up with the rest of the American League. Pitching and defense will win you a lot of games, but I think you'll fall short of 500 like we saw in 2013.
Just for fun, Vern, before we let you get out of here, who's going to win the World Series? We don't get to watch the Royals in the playoffs. Who's going to actually win it?
I got the Dodgers over the Yankees.
I had Dodgers over Rays.
Even though Rob Manfred has done everything to ruin this game, he'll get everything he's ever wanted. Dodgers-Yankees in the World Series.
I hope for his sake he gets Padres-White Sox instead.
And that would be awesome, too.
I'm all about the Padres, man. All about the Padres. Vern, enjoy a full day, another full day of playoff baseball.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Vern. And hey, Vern, you had to get a shot in there on Rob Manfred before we got out there. Who could blame him?
In fairness, Manfred is the worst.
Yeah, who could blame him? By the way, there is baseball going on right now, headed to the bottom of the sixth inning, scoreless between the Reds and Braves, also top of the third between Houston and Minnesota. Obviously, the Twins have to win today after falling down and losing yesterday to the Houston Astros. That one's top of the third, still scoreless, still to come late. I mean, it's an unbelievable day of baseball. Miami and Chicago, Cubs, White Sox,
first pitch
A's.
At 11, 12, 1, yeah, 2,
it's
3,
all, I mean,
4,
it's
5.
All day in the late, late
five,
game.
4, 6, whatever.
Yeah, the late game tonight. The Brewers taking on the Dodgers at 9 o'clock. And so, yeah, it's pretty fun. Pretty fun to have baseball all day long. And, you know, you were asking him just about for Mondesi, like, what's the offseason look like for him? Because it was a great final 22-game stretch. And gets your hopes
tremendous.
Up again. It was, he was playing as good of any as anybody, really. I mean, that final 22 games. And what happens, and sounds like Vern was saying, well, he's going to go to the Dominican at first and then kind of go from there. And you're right. Like you see what Salvador Perez was able to do. And it does seem like, and this happens in all sports, where there's a player that has a huge year and then you find out, like, what's the difference? And if they mention a coach that they worked out with in the offseason, then it's like, everybody's like, well, obviously you want to go find and talk to the coach. Makes sense. And then everybody's like, well, why isn't everybody else working out with this coach? And that seems like what's happening, by the way. I'm not saying it's completely wrong, but that seems what's happening with Salvador Perez and in particular how his offseason went.
Yeah, I get it. Like, it's like Tozar seems like he's the magic fix button because multiple guys have worked with him in the entire offseason and have made, you know, like, obviously have had tremendous strides. But yes, it is hard to dial down whether the Royals changed hitting coaches in the middle of a World Series run once. So, look, I'm not the guy to say it, but Mondesi's got some work to do this offseason.
Pop Culture Corner.
Borat 2 will be released on Amazon Prime before Election Day. It said that there were risky and dangerous scenarios in shooting for Sacha Baron Cohen. He had to wear a bulletproof vest on two different shooting days.
This is a big surprise. Someone texted me
Why is there a Borat sequel?
Last night, I thought it was a joke, but this is a real thing. And like, they're going to have this movie out before Election Day on Amazon Prime, I think you said.
Yes.
Am I going to watch? Absolutely, I'm going to watch. Is it really needed? Probably not, but we can use a little humor.
Have you gone back and watched Borat? That definitively feels like one of those things that probably doesn't hold up.
Well, that's what makes it, what they do in the show.
I might like it less now because, like, people still do bad Borat impressions.
But
like, it's never going to die.
Sacha
I'm
going to
do a bad
Cohen.
Borat impression till the day I die.
Sacha Baron Cohen, though, is really
tremendous.
Funny, and his humor's always been controversial, but his show on Showtime, Who is America, they've only done one season of it. It's one of those things that I think he can just do whenever he wants, like, whenever he
Showtime's
feels
like just, hey, if you feel like making some episodes, shoot them over our
and
way,
so
thanks.
I would imagine we'll get more of that at some point. Who is America was fantastic.
I didn't watch that, I guess. Maybe I
the title of this one's
out.
Something else. It's a very long
look, he's
long
got
title.
Range. Like, and he is funny, and he does a really good job at backing people into very deceptive situations. I can appreciate the fact that after every single one of these, sort of there's like five people who try to sue him because they realize now they were a part of a phony interview and are super mad. You're like, you didn't have to answer that way when he asked the question. Why didn't you think about your decision to answer this a certain way before answering the question, political leader? This was your decision.
Yeah, and people still fall for it.
I know, man. It
that's
is incredible.
I'm, that's why I'm that's wondering.
Actually credit. I don't know if you watched his original show, Dolly G or whatever, back in those HBO days, sort of. That was really good stuff, too. I mean, he's a really good comedian. I just wonder if it holds up. I just never thought of Borat 2 as being a...
I thought this title was a joke.
Part two.
And it is the title of the movie. Borat, Gift of Pornographic Monkey to Vice Premier Mikhail Pence to make benefit recently diminished nation of Kazakhstan. By the way, to say Mikhail. That's how it's pronounced there. It's spelled out there.
Yeah.
I understand it's not. I just want to clarify before someone texts in, who pronounces his name that way? I understand.
That's the title of the Borat. Yeah.
They did all of this really quick, too. Like, they've done this, like, in the middle of the pandemic.
I mean, it's going to be entertaining. I don't know if it's going to be good. But, yeah. The reason why Borat, to your point about it being, like, not being time, like, the other one not being as good, that's why this one makes sense, because it usually deals with events that are going on. Like, I mean, that as far as some of the stuff he's done.
Sure. It dates itself because of when it's played. I guess I'll watch it.
Oh, you're going to watch. It's stupid, but you're going to watch. End of October on Amazon. That's Serta's Pop Culture Corner. Coming up next, we head into the 1 o'clock hour. Our own Josh Klingler and the Chiefs sideline reporter for the Chiefs Radio Network stops by.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.